All right, we're going to move on. We have the legislative update. Our senior staff attorney, Mr. John Katelnik.
Madam Chair, Commissioners, John Katelnik, staff attorney. It's already with you, Madam Chair. Perhaps we do the public hearing. It is 2 o'clock. I know there are individuals online and as well as in the room to conduct that, if that's your wishes.
I'm fine with that. If you all are okay moving forward with the public forum, as it's 2, let's do that.
Again, John Katelnik here. There is no actual public hearing. Again, a reminder for those individuals wishing to testify. The public hearing is in relation to the finalization of rules. There are no rules being finalized, so this is the open forum, so you can talk about anything that you wish the commission to hear. Please state your name for the record, as well as where you're calling in from or where you're from. And I'll try to keep the time limit at 3 minutes. There's quite a few people signed up. And the first individual I have to testify is Dana Rogers.
Welcome.
Thank you very much, Chairman Richler, Secretary Roblin, Commissioners. Appreciate the time. I appreciate the opportunity to address you today. I'm the volunteer lobbyist for the South Dakota Bowhunters, as you know. And for the past 6 years, the SDBI has petitioned to put a cap on the ever-increasing number of non-resident archery hunters for both deer and antelope here in South Dakota. We've also lobbied the department to end South Dakota being the very last and lower-end non-resident fees compared to many other states with mule deer and antelope, specifically. South Dakota currently is that very last state with mule deer and antelope to have unlimited permits for non-resident archery. The proposal in front of you today from the staff is appreciated. We do appreciate the staff putting that together and sending that forward, but we just don't believe it's quite enough in protecting our precious mule deer and pronghorn resources. The statistics from the Game Fish and Parks own harvest reporting data support the proposed restrictions, but they don't quite go far enough, especially on the proposed antelope license cap. It does very little to discourage someone from acquiring a private land license and hunting on public lands. We already have a statute in place on the firearm side for 8% resident firearm permits, and we'd like to see that precedence be held for the archery side as well. We suggest getting as close to that 8% number as possible based on the rolling 3-year average for resident permit sales for the deer and antelope archery permits. Using that 8% rule would allow for a maximum quota of approximately 1,750 non-resident archery deer permits total and 171 total non-resident archery antelope permits. Currently, we're looking at the proposal. It says 2,200. What we'd really like to see is maybe let's take that down to 2,000 for the public land deer and the 450 number for the archery antelope. We're looking at maybe asking you guys to take that down to about 200. Now, with the unlimited private land permits, a compromise that we'd like to see there is if you want to make sure that those landowner and outfitter folks that have clients that need that permit, let's make those a certain number. Say 1,500 for the deer and 500 for the antelope. And let's make those the special buck variety. Those are a $500 permit rather than $286. So that there would be some compromise. There would be permits available for those folks that need those permits, but the larger fee wouldn't really be a hindrance to people coming and using those services. One example that we can talk about and show the differences in the harvest. When we talk about pressure, it's not necessarily about pressure in people that they see. It's about the harvest pressure. It's about how many animals are actually taken. For example, resident bow hunters in South Dakota in 2021 took 560 mule deer bucks, while non-resident bow hunters killed 525. So basically, out of the 1,085 mule deer bucks, 48% were taken by non-residents. Non-residents held 24% of the archery permits. So that is a significant number of disproportionate harvest. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about pressure. So we appreciate the time. Thank you very much. We do appreciate the department putting forth an actual proposal, but we'd like to see a little bit more done. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Rogers.
Thank you. The next individual I signed up is Justin Browden. Are you online, Justin?
I am. Thank you.
All right. Go ahead. Your time's
good. Afternoon. I'm Justin Broughton. Good afternoon. I'm Justin Broughton, president of South Dakota Bow Hunters. I'll cover a bit of the same ground as Mr. Rogers just covered, but I'd like to start by saying thank you to the commissioners, department staff, and guests for listening to my testimony this afternoon regarding the proposals for archery antelope and archery deer. And I thank the department for their work in bringing these proposals to the table. I fully support both proposals to place a cap and draw on the public land non-resident archery tags for deer and antelope. However, the current proposals fall just a bit short in two very specific areas. Firstly, we need to ensure that the unlimited private land tags are only being used on private lands. And in order to ease the burden on our thinly spread COs in enforcing those rules, we should implement the special buck format for all private land only archery tags, requiring that the applicant list the landowner or outfitter with whom they plan to hunt on their application. That framework is simple. It's already in place and already managed by the department under the firearm special buck deer and antelope tag structure. We should also raise the price of those tags to match the $500 price point of the existing special buck tags. This would help to offset the potential revenue loss from placing some license cap on archery deer and antelope. I believe last month in the commission meeting, the attorney for the Landowner and Outfitter Alliance also mentioned a similar price increase in his testimony to the commission, and that would likely not have an impact on tag sales for their clients. Price increases are something we've seen occur in nearly every western state of late, and they've literally had zero impact on demand in those states as we continue to see draw odds decrease and point requirements creep up for high demand tags like mule deer and pronghorn. Secondly, I don't feel a cap goes far enough in limiting the number of licenses. Especially for our antelope resource, there's an 8% cap in place for non-resident firearm licenses. We'd like to see something similar for the archery tags, reducing the non-resident cap for 2,000 for deer and reducing the antelope cap to 200 tags gets us very close to that 8% cap on a rolling three-year average. SDBI, others based upon some of the public commentary that I read, like to see similar cap numbers or maybe even a reduced cap number from that to be in line with current firearm limitations. I just respectfully request that the commission consider amending both proposals to require the special buck format and pricing for the private land only licenses, and further reducing the proposed caps for deer to 2,000 and reducing the cap for antelope to 200 to bring them more in line with firearms restrictions. I appreciate the time you guys took to listen to my testimony today, and wish everyone a good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Broughton. The next person I have signed up is Ronald Kolbeck.
Madam Chair, Commission members, Ron Kolbeck, Salem, South Dakota. Been a bow hunter in South Dakota since 1977. Haven't missed a season. One thing that's been steady throughout all of those years is increased competition year after year after year. And quite honestly, I've been part of what's created that, because I've been recruiting bow hunters. I teach bow hunter education. I coach archery, all those things. Until recently, that hasn't been a problem. The changes in the last few years that I've seen with the pressure for specifically mule deer and antelope from non-residents. What's been driving that is, quite honestly, the professional hunters out there and organizations that contract with people to help them draw tags in all the states, western states, and so forth, to get those opportunities. For the last several years, have been pushing them to build points for that special hunt and then go hunt in South Dakota where you can hunt every year. And that's just increased that non-resident pressure tremendously, specifically for mule deer and antelope. And that pressure specifically for mule deer, I was a little bit disappointed to see that this proposal does not specifically address mule deer. It's deer in general. I understand the department may be coming forward with some further guidance on that, or recommendations on that specific to mule deer. But I submitted written testimony earlier on this, in supportive of what you, what's proposed at this time, with the recommendations that you just heard from SDBI. The reason I came here today is because when I was stuck in the snowstorm recently, I got a chance to do a little bit more research online, and quite honestly, I got scared. The reason I got scared is all the other states are having these similar meetings to restrict non-resident hunters, and what is going to happen, quite honestly, in the next 2 years is if we don't implement something, we're going to have literally thousands upon thousands of people looking to come to South Dakota to hunt mule deer and antelope. If you don't believe me, state of Wyoming had a meeting. Currently, they have their allocation of 30% to non-residents for deer and elk. They're talking about taking that to 10%.
30 seconds.
Okay. So that is a big one. They also have their special deer tag is going up to $1,200. So they're making significant changes. Colorado is making significant changes. All of that is going to increase pressure exponentially in the next couple of years if we don't do something. The other thing I want to just mention quickly is the requirement to get landowner permission ahead of time. The other thing I saw when I was doing research is some of these YouTube hunters posting videos, they made the trip to South Dakota. They didn't have private land to hunt on when they made the trip out here. And they were hunting in September, so they couldn't hunt public ground. So they literally spent 5 days traveling the state asking permission. At the same time, when I teach hunter education, we demand that people ask permission before they apply for their license, not after that. So I think that is a very important piece. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Colbeck.
Thank you. The next person I have, Mr. Richter.
Good morning, commission members. A couple of friendly faces there that I recognize from my work in here. But my name is Mitch Richter. I am going to be working with South Dakota Wildlife Federation, lobbying this legislative session and working with some of our affiliates going forward to try to expand our footprint in South Dakota. So you may hear from me via email. You know, we're mostly interested in habitat and access, and those are the things we're going to try to work on. Also going to try to expand the number of organizations that we work with, our affiliates, whether it be rock climbing or kayakers or snowmobilers or whoever. If you enjoy the outdoors, we want to talk to you about becoming a member of our organization so we have a stronger voice in South Dakota. So I just wanted to introduce myself and let you know who I am, and if you hear from me now, you kind of put a face and a name together, and you probably will be hearing from us here in the next couple of months. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Richter.
Next person I've signed up is Mr. Jake Liebke online. Jake, are you there?
I am here, yes.
All right, go ahead.
First of all, commissioners, thank you for your time in the public testimony portion. I live in over by Clark in Clark County, and just want to give you a little bit of personal experience concerning the non-resident archery pressure. I also a member on the board of South Dakota Bow Hunters, and anyway, so my personal testimony here is in the fall of 2021, my son and I had drawn Harding County antelope rifle tags. So we went out the second weekend, and typically we camp at the Slim Buttes Riva Gap campground. And I've hunted there, archery hunted as well there in that area for close to 10 years now. Every year the pressure just keeps getting more and more. Anyway, the fall of 2021, when we went out there the second weekend of antelope season, which I'm pretty sure was the second weekend in October that year, looking to camp at that campground, and I don't know if any of you are familiar with that campground, but you pull off Highway 20 into the campground, and there's a nice open area with some picnic tables set up that's usually a picnic area. And then you continue pulling in, they've got several camp spots, and then down on the end, they've also got a big open area with a scenic overlook, and that area can be used for camping. Well, the past several years, it's been getting worse, and the fall of 2021, when we pulled in there to camp for antelope season, that whole picnic area was full of campers. Every campground was full of campers, and there were several, like the whole campground was full. Like I said, including that picnic area you can pull into. And out of all those people, I don't recall the exact number of campers there, but we were only the third South Dakota plate I saw there. Other license plates were Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota. And as a
you have 30 seconds remaining.
Largely public land hunter, you know, that's concerning to me that we're having all this pressure and nothing's being done as far as the public land areas go to curb that. And, I mean, you got the facts in front of you. Dana stated a bunch. Just the harvest numbers, non-resident archery hunters compared to resident. So just encourage you to look at that. And take all that in consideration when making your decision. And again, thank you for your time. Have a good day.
Thank you. Moving on, I understand we received a number of petitions to limit perps, so it's going to be kind of a little bit different. I understand Clint Hay is online. Clint, we're going to give you some time when the actual petition is being considered, but in the meantime, I will call on individuals who wish to give testimony related to perch. The first one I have is Nicholas Morris. Nicholas, are you there? Okay, we'll try Mike Collins. Back and checking to see if these guys are having technical difficulties. The next person I've signed up is Jamie Ali. Yep, Jamie Ali.
Jamie El-Haj, I am here.
Yes, please.
Hi, my name is Jamie El-Haj. I'm from Rapid City. I am just wanting to express my opinion on the games, on the Nest Predator Bounty Program. I am adamantly opposed to this program. I have spoken multiple times along with hundreds of other people over the last 4 years, and just cannot understand the justification of the Games Fish and Farmers proceeding with this program when it continues to have no scientific bearing, there's no justification for this program.
Hey, Jamie, we're kind of losing you. Are you on a speakerphone, maybe? On your end, maybe check your connection.
Okay, I just will, if you can.
Yep, that's
if
better.
You can hear what I am saying.
Yep.
Okay, I am just adamantly opposed to the Nest Predator Bounty Program. I've spoken multiple times before, as I've said, as multiple other people, hundreds and hundreds over the last 4 years. Have written in, have commented, have spoken publicly. And I am asking that you reconsider this program. I understand that you are proposing
to approve it for 4 years. I do not believe that the public were given adequate time to be aware of this, and I am asking you to reconsider this program. It has no scientific basis and has been spoken out.
Thank you, Jamie. The next person I have is Nancy Hilding. Ms. Hilding, are you online?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, we can.
Okay, so you're going to warn me when it's...
30 seconds.
Right. Okay, Nancy Hilding, president of Prairie Hills Audubon Society. Like Jamie, we have repeatedly spoken against this for the past 4 years. We are substantially a birding group, and we care very much about nesting success of ground nesting animals, birds. We believe that there is no science to justify this from a biological standpoint. It doesn't work because the killing is not intensely focused enough. So for a biological sense, it's a waste of money. That $500,000 could be spent better elsewhere, such as buying habitat, where you can get matching funds from the feds, you know, make it two or three times what it's currently worth. Biologically, it's a waste of money. Okay, we also object on animal cruelty grounds. We want trapping reform to the rules and regs, and the people on the commission have heard me talk about that ad nauseum. Okay, so... We will, if I have time, we will talk to the issue of involving people, but I'm moving on. If you approve this, we request that it be for $25 million, a quarter million at $5 a tail, which you did the second year, that you do it for a shorter time period, especially on public land. And we also have always opposed including opossums in this mix. And why do we do that? Opossums are like a kangaroo. They carry their babies in their pouch. Now, when you kill a mother, you kill the babies, which is not obvious necessarily, but it's obvious with an opossum. And allegedly, you want to involve children in trapping. So the children are going to be confronted with 12 or 13 little babies in a pouch. And how do they ethically kill those babies so they don't sit there and starve or freeze to death? And the only way legally to kill animals in South Dakota from hunting and trapping is with a bullet or an arrow. So how does a child put a bullet through an arrow through a teeny little baby possum in a possum's pouch? And opossums are tree-dwelling things, and they don't really affect prairie birds' nesting success. I have no clue why opossums were included, but if you want to involve children, get rid of the opossums out of the list of things to kill. All right, so we're moving on here. We want to point out to you that the 12-month finding on the listing by the Fish and Wildlife Service of the plain spotted skunk is this year and in 2025. All right. Okay, I want to read to you something from the Game Fish and Parks requirements to – you have to say this if you want to rent a room, that the group support and promote fish and wildlife conservation management, which recognizes that hunting, fishing, and trapping are highly coveted recreational activities and important tools of wildlife management. I want to rent a room at Outdoor Campus West. I have to state this. Okay, and you're always saying that you need to do this to involve people in trapping because not enough people are involved in trapping. But all of us have to affirm that trapping is a highly coveted recreational activity. In a recreational activity, you don't need to be bribed with $10 per tail in order to do it because it's highly coveted recreational activity.
Please wrap up your testimony.
At any rate, that's and I'm like Jamie. We did not know that you were going to do this for 4 years. The commission book was not published on Monday afternoon. The deadline for public comment was Sunday night, and we had no clue that you were suggesting a four-year approval. We object to that. You should only do 1 year if you approve this. Thank you. That's a due process concern. That is unfair. Thank you.
Thank
bye-bye.
Thank you very much
for letting me testify.
Thank you. Going back to Mike Collins online. Mike, are you available? About Nicholas Morris. Okay. Last person I signed up is John Meyer. Are you online? Mayan? John Mayan? Is there anyone else? Oh, go ahead. Is there anyone else online or in the room that wishes to give public testimony to the commission who has not already done so?
I am.
This is Clint Hay. I'd like to talk about the perch limits, the change of the perch limits, if I could, please.
Yeah, Clint, when we get to the petition, or you can give your comments now, or you can wait till we actually get to the petition part. It's really up to your preference. I don't want to hold you hostage if you have things you got to do.
Okay. No, my name's Clint Hay. I'm calling from Brookings. Colin, I wrote up a petition about possibly changing the yellow perch limits, and I would like the commission to hear my voice on this because I'm calling as a concerned angler. In the last few years, we have gotten a tremendous amount of angling fishing pressure in northeastern South Dakota, especially during the wintertime, and, you know, these anglers are targeting perch. And nowadays, with social media, bait shop report, live imaging sonar, you know, our little lakes with these perch in them are just getting absolutely just destroyed. Sometimes there's upwards of over 1,000 people on a 2,000-acre lake trying to catch perch, and our populations are just, they're getting harvested to the point where there isn't a sustainable population left in the lake for them to naturally reproduce. I've talked to two biologists about this, and basically their stance is that they basically rely on high water cycles and Mother Nature because the perch lifespan is only 4 to 6 years. I think that right now a lot of the mentality with the biologists at the game fish and parks are, they're thinking, 10, 15 years ago instead of what's actually going on today. They're not adapting with the anglers and how we are progressing in, angling day in and day out. And their mentality is, I think, very much years in the past. They don't stock perch. So, like I said, our lakes and sloughs are just getting absolutely hammered by fishermen. And I propose that we change the perch limit from 15, what it is today, to 10 to help mitigate some of that. I've talked to many friends of mine who are guides up in the area, full-time guides, and they are on board with changing the perch limit to 10. And another thing I have a question for the biologist, if they could get back to me, is I know that they stock a ton of walleyes and perch, lives, they only stay for 4 to 6 years. I'd like to know the livelihood of all the walleye that you guys are stocking our lakes. Do they even make it to 4 to 6 years old? So if you guys got the time and the resources to stock walleye and they don't make it to 4 to 6 years old, why can't you with perch? So I know that, a lot of these small communities, Webster, Clark, Brookings, Watertown, they get a lot of people coming from out of state to, and bring a lot of revenue to our state, and non-resident license dollars and habitat fee dollars, and if we don't have the perch in our sloughs for them to come catch anymore, the state's going to lose on a boatload of money. So I'd like you to consider changing the perch limit. Like I said, I'm calling as a concerned angler, and hopefully we can try to get something done sooner than later before it is a problem we don't have perch in our lakes and sloughs. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Hay. Is there anyone else online or in the room that wishes to give testimony?
I am online. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Julie Anderson, and I have been opposed to the Nest Predator Bounty Program since it was pushed through by the governor in 2019. This program was first introduced to help provide more pheasants for people to shoot by eliminating the animals that prey on them as a food source. But when habitat was proven the best way to boost pheasant numbers, the focus of the Nest Predator Bounty Program changed to families. This agency promoted that trapping a live animal, either bludgeoning it or shooting it for no other reasons than recreation, enjoying the great outdoors, was family fun. Youth specifically has been targeted, and now the month of March is specifically reserved as open only to youth. Trap, giveaways, and photo contests are part of this promotion to encourage youth to kill wildlife for fun. Photos of dead dismembered animals littering the road are showed on websites to promote this program as well. These animals have done nothing other than to be the target of the governor's second century initiative to revive the trapping industry in South Dakota. To say this is reckless and reprehensible would be an understatement. The trapping industry is in decline due to people's awareness of the cruelty involved in trapping and the alternatives now available. This agency also voted against upping the trap check time to 24 hours instead of the current time of 72 hours. In a live trap, animals are terrified and must await their fate confined in the element. Some break their teeth trying to get out. Non-targeted animals fall victim to these traps, including domestic dogs and cats. Animals that live on their mother are also killed, or as fact number 22 in the Nest Predator Bounty Program states, young animals that are entirely dependent of the lactating female will die. Since 2019, this program has amassed 189,621 tails, leaving out all the other animals that have died indiscriminately because of this program. The harm to the ecosystem will contribute to more conflicts with wildlife. Killing coyotes' natural food sources, killing nature's greatest controller of ticks, the possum, and killing prairie dogs' natural predator, the badger, will all have its consequences. But with the rash of mass shootings in this country, to not only encourage young people to kill animals, but to pay them to do that may have the biggest consequence of all. And since 2019, many people have spoken out against this program. I have submitted two petition links to each commissioner for this meeting that have circulated since 2019. One has collected 168,660 signatures, and the other collected 27,853. But all these arguments, protests, and signatures have been all but ignored. The fact that this renewal was only announced on the agenda on Monday shows that this agency is not interested in giving this program a fair hearing. I propose that the renewal motion be postponed until it can be reviewed fairly by hearing all sides and then taking the time to reevaluate whether it should continue. I would sincerely hope someone on the commission will ask for a postponement on this vote today. I am a resident of South Dakota. I oppose this program like many others, and we want our voice to be heard. Please vote against this renewal of the Nest Predator Bounty Program. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else online or in the room that wishes to give testimony that has not already done so?
This is LeBay.
I'm sorry, say that again, sir. Last call, anyone who has not given testimony?
Is this whole bag?
I'm sorry, sir, say it again. Hearing no other individuals wishing to speak at the open forum, that would conclude this portion of the meeting. Madam Chair.
All right, thank you. Thanks, David.